Over the weekend, my good friend Sean, who I've been talking about for the past 8 months, who suffered a brainstem stroke, finally passed away. It was tough. My final thoughts on that next.
September is Local Food Month.
/ Wildfire Safety.
Alrighty, I've got it tuned to KHUM. This is Cliff here. So on top of everything, I also have a cold. So let's, if you hear me coughing or sneezing in the middle of this, I apologize. But hey, that's the way it is. So my friend Sean Demery. Sean Demery is a legend in the radio industry. The trade magazines are all going ape over this. Legendary music director and program director. My music director at several stations I worked at. Went on to be the music director at the legendary 99X in Atlanta. Was the program director of Live 105 in San Francisco for years. Did great things there. Even did a stint here for just a little while at KSLUG. Convinced them to come here for a little while. Alas, not for too long, though. He was off then to be the program director of KINK in Portland, where that was it. That's where it all ended. So the radio industry is reeling. Every trade magazine is on the front page. The legendary Sean Demery has passed away. For me, I've lost my best friend. A lifelong best friend. These don't come along very often. Once in a lifetime, really. We met in college. We were at a community college called Saddleback College in Mission Viejo. I went there right out of high school in 1975. He joined in 76, and we met in our radio production class. Neither of us had any intention of going into radio whatsoever. This is the amazing thing. This is the amazing thing. Neither of us had any intention. As a matter of fact, in my radio production class, when we went around the room and the teacher said, say who you are, give us your name and why you're in the class. And people were going, hi, my name's Bob Smith. I wanted to be in radio since I was a kid, blah, blah, blah. I stood up, said, my name is Cliff Berkowitz. The only reason I'm in this class is that it's a requirement for my television production class. I said, which was true. I was very, very much into television production. That's where I was heading. So I was getting my degree. I already had a job lined up at NBC to work behind the scenes. Didn't work out that way. And Sean, then known as Gio, his name's George Prochaska, went by Gio. We quickly became friends. It was we kind of were cut from the same cloth. And they started a radio station there on campus, a little 10-watt FM radio station called KSBR. It is now a full-fledged station in Orange County that doesn't have any students on it anymore. But back then, it was a little 10-watt station, fully student-run. We all had to get our FCC licenses, which you had to do at the time. And we did radio shows, and we had a great time. Sean, as I said, it was not Sean then. He needed a radio name. I just used my real name. I could just use my name. I don't care. But he felt he needed a radio name, and he went through some of the wildest radio names. He was Gio the Crazy Indian. He was Wes Daniels. He was Danny West, your favorite pest. He was the Mad Moravian. Went through a million different names. Anyway, from Saddleback, we then transferred to Fresno State. And we were roommates. And we were roommates for many years. And I did not know this, because we shared an actual room. We were actually roommates. And he slept in the bed across the room from me. And I didn't know this, but he could snore the siding off a barn. The man could snore like nobody's business. So I used to keep like a pile of all my shoes by the side of my bed. And I would throw them at them all night long to get him to stop snoring. It would work for a second, and then he'd start snoring again. Every morning, he'd wake up with a pile of shoes on him. Anyway, while we were going to school, I wound up landing a job first at a country music radio station called K-Make, the Music of America, back in the end of 1977. Then, that didn't last long. Then I wound up at a station called K-104, which is a terrible adult contemporary radio station. It was in January of 1978. And while I was there, they changed out program directors and brought in a legendary programmer. They brought in Jerry Clifton, who was the consultant, and our program director was Eric Rhodes, who is still to this day the publisher of Radio Ink magazine, one of the industry's leading trades. Anyway, we were just kids, and they needed folks, and we brought I convinced them to hire Sean. And at this point, you know, George Geo is going, "I need a radio name! I need a radio name!" So, in desperation, he rifled through the Fresno phone book and found two names that he liked and combined them. One was Sean, one was Demery. What he didn't realize is that the Sean that he noticed was the female spelling of Sean, S-H-A-W-N. And that was how he spelled his name, and it was D-E-M-O-R-Y. Over the years, he changed it S-H-U-N-D-E-M-O-R-Y, eventually S-E-A-N-D-E-M-E-R-Y. Only Sean Demery, though. So for so long, I mean, 40 years of Sean Demery, that's his name. That is his name. Yes, he's George Prochaska. I think the only one who called him George was his mother. George? Everyone else, he was Sean. Everyone else, he was Sean. And for me, my lifelong best friend. Our wives, his wife, Jennifer, my wife, Amy, used to laugh. But used to say we were two men with one brain. Because we our brains are cut from the same cloth. And it's just, together, when we were together, we would just take over the world with our radio plans. And it was just amazing. Absolutely amazing. You know, I said to Sean while he was in the hospital, who went to visit him several times since the stroke, you know, that I said, "Sean, we were totally two men with one brain. If I could actually share half my brain with you, I would." He gave it two eyes up. In case you know what I'm talking about, my friend Sean suffered a brainstem stroke back on January 20th of this year, which left him completely paralyzed. Completely paralyzed. The brainstem controls just about everything. So it even controls his breathing. He was on a respirator. He couldn't move a muscle. Over the months, they were able to get him off the respirator, which was a blessing, so he could breathe on his own. But he could do nothing but move his eyes, and only a little. He could move them up and down a little. Couldn't even move them side to side. But he learned to communicate that way. And one hell of a fighter. I don't know if I could have lived like that. Imagine being completely conscious, completely aware of everything, being exactly who you are now, but being trapped in a completely non-functional body. What a nightmare. But he fought on. He fought on hard. He battled through various different infections, pneumonia. There were times when they didn't think he was going to make it. They kept offering, "Hey, you know, you have the right to say no to treatment." He was like, "No, I'm going to fight on." He kept fighting on. And this was almost 8 months at this point. But just recently, you know, he got pneumonia again. It was bad. The feeding tube was not working anymore. It was not absorbing nutrition. His oxygen levels were dropping. The doctor said that we can do an operation that might work. Chances are you won't survive it. At this point, he said no. He said no. Just keep me comfortable. So when we weren't visiting him, Amy and I would make these little videos on our iPhones and shoot them off to Jen, and Jen would play them for him, and he really loved them. So at least we did have a chance to say goodbye to him, tell him how much we loved him, told him that we would, of course, no matter what he decided, we would take care of Jennifer and she would be okay. There are a lot of friends around the nation who are reaching out to her to take care of her as well. So I just wanted to share the personal stuff, because not every day you lose your lifelong best friend. And he will be remembered. He'll be remembered through the radio industry as someone who really loved music. For me, he's just my best friend.